Bits Blacker, Gold Bits Blacker, Gold Bits Blacker, Gold Bits
Podcast, Podcast, Podcast.
Blacker, Gold Bits Blacker, Gold Bits Blacker, Gold Bits Blacker, Gold Bits
Podcast, 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 Podcast. Podcast, Podcast, Podcast.
Blackheart Gold Podcast,
episode 45, Hate Week, volume 2, Patrick Vint, joined by Adam Jacoby. Adam, are you feeling the hate?
I am so mad right now at Minnesota. I've always been mad at Minnesota, but this week I think it takes on, this year takes on some extra special significance because of the new divisional setup that's coming up. This is sort of our last time to be able to pick Minnesota out of the same pool as everybody else in the conference. Like, we're not going to be able to pick on Penn State for forever every single game or anything like that. Does this make any sense to you guys?
Not really, but please feel free to carry
okay.
on.
I think a rivalry carries more weight when you have 10 other teams in the conference than when you have 5 other teams in your division that you play every year. Because you can pick so many other schools to reserve your hate for, but in a division, you know, there's fewer schools to choose from.
There's all that hate and there's fewer schools to spread it around to.
Exactly.
So how does it, how does that change how we handle this year, other than the fact that so much of the hate is focused on Minnesota?
Well, okay, here's the thing. If you go back to the ancient times of Ur, when the Romans and the numerals were at war with each other, they eventually became allies, and that's why we have the Roman numeral system of counting today. Look, this is all very terribly complicated, and maybe a podcast isn't the right place to go about explaining it all. But the point is, I hate Minnesota.
Good. That's all we really ask for. There is one thing that's absolutely certain this week, and it's that this is going to be the last season closer, at least for a while, between Iowa and Minnesota. And so, you know, it could lose a little bit of significance now that we're no longer playing in the last game of the season. In any case, it is hate week. We hate Minnesota. We hate them all so much. Even our guest tonight, one Benjamin Dawson, a.k.a. Whitespeed Receiver, our source for all things Gopher and the focus, the receptacle of all of our hatred this week. Ben, go screw yourself. How you doing?
I'm just great. So happy to be here. I hope you guys get, pubic lice and have a great evening.
Excellent. So, Minnesota is 2-9?
2-9, 1-6, Big Ten.
They're one win coming against Ron Zook and Illinois.
So it doesn't really count.
Well, they're a bowl team. You have a bowl win in Big Ten play, so to speak.
Well, let's lock up Horton to a long-term contract and set the parade route then.
Let's go ahead and get to that right away. As everybody here knows, sadly, Minnesota dumped Tim Brewster like a bad habit in mid-October and has been going with Jeff Horton as the interim coach, but I think, as everybody has indicated, there's no real chance of keeping the job. Who's going to be the object of our scorn for the next couple of years? Who do you think is going to end up getting this job, and what's the inside word from Minneapolis?
There were some breaking news from our rivals guys tonight that we've got it apparently narrowed down to Brady Hoke at San Diego State, Troy Calhoun at Air Force, and Al Golden at Temple. None of those really, excite me a whole lot. I think out of the three, Calhoun would probably be the best because he's got the, most head coaching experience. He's the most successful out of those three. it's a little scary, actually, because when we finally gave Brewster the axe he so richly deserved, Maturi came out and said specifically that we were looking at a Tubby Smith type hire, so everybody here, you know, got their hopes way too high like we do whenever there's something like that happens.
We're going to get Steve Spurrier!
I hear Saban's bored at Alabama. He could use a change of pace.
He doesn't like that nice weather and all that fertile recruiting ground.
Right. He'd like
and
to
the
hibernate.
SEC standards.
Right. So you like Calhoun then?
Out of those three, yeah.
Who are the Minnesota fans actually setting their sights on before everybody's expectations got tamped down?
We are so delusional, it's not even funny. Mark Richt's name was being thrown around because, you know, they're mad at him at Georgia, and that would be a Tubby Smith-style hire.
Ooh.
That would be a good one, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That's why it'll never happen. I personally wanted Mike Leach because, well, that would just be entertaining on so many levels.
Do you think Joel Maturi could have stood being in the room with Mike Leach for more than 5 minutes at a time, ever?
No, but I don't care. Maturi's on the way out here this June.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's the kind of oddball thing here is that your AD's leaving, right?
Hey, yes, we just announced our new president last week as well. This is the perfect storm. Everybody was hoping that Brewster could make it one more year so we could get a new president and AD in place to, you know, pick the next coach instead of a pair of lame ducks.
Didn't quite work out that way, though, because, well, Brewster's so magnificent.
He's tremendous.
He over-Brewsted. He OB'd.
So they have been playing a little bit better since Brewster's ouster. You know, they got the win against Illinois. They've looked at least competitive in a couple other games. What's the secret here for Horton? Why is it that Minnesota suddenly shown a little bit of life since Get Your Chili Hot left?
What do we have to lose right now? They can just go out and try, I think.
Could they go out and go fight, try best?
Go fight tremendous, lose. it's the same thing that Dallas did in the NFL when they got rid of Wade Phillips. You know, it's like a weight's lifted off your shoulders. You can just go out there and play a little better. It's really not a good year to be a mediocre football coach in Minnesota.
Yeah, it's been rough for a couple guys up there.
What would you say if Brad Childress came sniffing around for a job?
Jesus Christ, I'll kill myself.
A job and or a 12-year-old to molest.
You know,
there aren't very many Windows fans around the University of Minnesota, so people would be able to find him pretty quickly.
is there still, I mean, clearly you said, you know, the Rivals guys are saying that there's those three. Has there been any other discussion of a bigger name? I know initially it was Fulmer and Bellotti, and those were clearly shot down pretty fast, and we talked about Leach a little bit. Is there any outside candidate you think is still possibly in play that could be that kind of Tubby Smith big name?
I don't know. The one name that I keep coming back to a little bit because his tit might be in the ringer a little bit is Dan Mullen. He might have a very short life at Mississippi State right now, but he'd kind of be radioactive like Leach at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that for all the problems that Mike Leach is encountering, like, schools won't even contact him. And I think that this goes way beyond the Adam James situation. I think that sort of encapsulated larger issues that existed between Leach and the administrators to the point that other administrators just don't even want to deal with his personality. And I've been interviewed by him. I would know, like, I know exactly why.
I heard that was great.
I would never want to be his boss. Now, I love him as a football coach. I would never want to have to try to control him in any way. So, like, I get that. But don't you think that if this Mullen thing shakes down and South Carolina sort of has to admit that they didn't exactly tell Newton no so much as they didn't have enough money, don't you think that that's going to end up being worse than anything Mike Leach did?
probably, that's why I said there's a chance that he could come out of this, you know, in the Mike Leach category of unhirable.
Yeah, I guess that's true. A distinction without a difference.
But the problem is that, you know, our leaks keep getting plugged up here pretty quickly, so, you know, every time one rumor comes out, it's like, oh, no, that's not true, and then that, you know, you don't hear anything from that type of source anymore.
Yeah.
Well,
so who do you want that isn't being mentioned? Like, aside from Leach, which, I mean, we know won't happen, but who do you want that isn't one of those three main candidates that the Rivals guys mention and who hasn't been otherwise shot down or is completely unrealistic, like Mike Holmes?
So you're saying that I can't pick Ferentz?
Yeah, I think he's on his way out. 7-4 just won't cut
it. Certain segments of the fan base might allow you to, but you won't usually find him around our neck of the woods.
It's about time for him
to get an NFL job again, isn't it?
Yeah, he's overdue.
The problem is that every reasonable name gets shot down because we've tried people who don't have head coaching experience, and that's failed. We've tried people that have, you know, head coaching experience from a lower division, and that was Wacker before Mason, and they failed. And I hate to say it, but if you could, you know, chain somebody who could have coached defense to Glenn Mason, he might have been a good football coach in the conference, and that's kind of the guy we're looking for, is somebody that can put in an offense and run it.
I got to tell you, I'm a little higher on Brady Hoke than you are. When Chuck Long left San Diego State, that place was a shithole.
You mean against Chuck Long?
No, well, you know what? Fuck him. He went to Oklahoma with Bob Stoops.
Yeah, and he's in Kansas now. Fuck that. Yeah,
he burned his bridge. I didn't burn it. He did. So, anyway, like, no, the San Diego State program was a one-win team and completely undisciplined and just not good at all. Hocus turned that place around in, like, a season or two. He could do wonders with somebody else's recruits up there in Minnesota. Can he recruit himself? I don't know. Like, he's been around Purdue, but that doesn't mean that he's any good at recruiting at all. But he's got Big Ten experience. He's turned around SCSU. He turned around Ball State really quick. He seems like the kind of guy that would be a good fit in Minnesota, to me anyway.
Well, that scares me that you're approving of him.
Yes, hire him.
So that no way was meant to, you know, talk you into picking up somebody who sucks.
Ken O'Keefe's available,
yes,
right?
You guys, he is.
Can be
a- yeah, yeah. Oh, I mean, we didn't want to mention it because we don't want you to steal him.
Speaking of Ken O'Keefe, let's get to the game at hand here because it's complete overreaction from the Iowa side of the aisle, but there's some talk that this could be an interesting game this week. Minnesota, 2-9, coming off a win against Illinois and a bye week at home on Senior Day. In a game for Floyd of Rosedale, Ben, is the caution by the Iowa fan base warranted here? Could Minnesota pull this off?
Yeah, I think that there's always a chance that you can win a game. Sorry. coming into this season, I looked at the schedule and saw three games that I thought the Gophers had no chance in whatsoever. And this was one of them, and that was when I was downing Kool-Aid by the gallon and thought that our defense was actually going to be halfway good and Weber was going to look like a fifth-year senior quarterback and we were going to win 6, 7, 8 games. I don't know how we're going to be able to pull this off. It'll take some sort of miracle and a few very big things happening in the game that would be rather surprising.
Yeah, looking at it, I don't disagree with you. There's always the possibility of the weird, you know, like 6-turnover disaster. Or there's also the possibility that Minnesota could be within 7 points to start the fourth quarter, at which point they're guaranteed to win.
Shut up, fuck you, don't.
Right now, I'll take some points in a Minnesota-Iowa game, actually.
That's true.
I'm not saying that they've actually scored at that point. I'm guessing it would be 3-0.
5-0, you guys get a safety.
That's
too.
Right, yeah. So, Adam Weber, galloping off into the sunset. What's the book going to read on Adam Weber? Because he holds pretty much every Minnesota passing record now, doesn't he?
Yes, he holds. I mean, he is far and away the statistically best quarterback we've ever had. When Adam Weber is gone and graduated and his playing days are done here in Minnesota, you know, I'm going to look back at him as a, you know, a tough, gritty leader that gave everything he had to the team. You know, he didn't always have the physical ability or the players around him to be great, but he, you know, he gave everything he had right down to coming back the same week of having knee surgery as a sophomore. That being said, I'd really like to see Marquise Gray start at quarterback this Saturday.
Yeah. It sounds like Adam Weber is what would have happened if Kyle McCann had gotten 4 years of starting at Iowa.
He's, like I said, he's not a bad quarterback. He's had
Kyle McCann wasn't either.
Yeah. He's had five offensive coordinators in 5 years here at Minnesota. It's you can't be successful at that. He got the living shit kicked out of him his first 2 years when Brewster was trying to run the running spread that's getting Denard Robinson slaughtered at Michigan. He couldn't do it, and now he's paying for it because he has no mobility, so teams just tee off on him.
I'm sorry. I'm just getting this mental image of Adam Weber in a Michigan uniform trying to do what Denard Robinson's doing, and his limbs just getting ripped off of him.
Well, that sounds about right, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Is Minnesota's biggest weakness the pass defense? Of the litany of weaknesses, of course.
Well, we got absolutely shredded through the air by South Dakota. We got Northwestern was tearing through our offensive line. Our punter has had a couple that didn't net 20, I think. I don't know if I can necessarily pick one weak spot that we've had over the course of the year. The thing is, we're really incredible at having a lack of consistency at what we suck at.
This is so much fun. I'm sorry.
We're not going to have this opportunity forever. Odds dictate that at some point Minnesota's going to start going to bowls again, and so we can't make fun of Minnesota for having a pass defense and a rush defense that are both in the bottom, or not even in the top 100 in the NCAA in yards. Like, this is an amazing moment to be a Minnesota hater, and we need to relish every single second of this. So we're glad you're here to take our abuse, because this is abuse.
No. I'm a season ticket holder. That's abuse.
Well played, sir. The rest of the offense here on the rushing side, carries have been split between Eskridge and Bennett, and kind of varying degrees of success on that, Ben. But the passing game kind of interests me here, because you've got DeJean McKnight, who sets the record for most capital letters in a name, with four. Who has been the top receiver this year, but your next best receiver has almost certainly been your backup quarterback, Marquise Gray. Question one, next year, is he going back to quarterback? And question two, are you guys insane?
Yeah, yes. I'm just going to throw out one other that deserves a lot of credit right now too. You know, one of our next best receiver maybe right there is tight end Eric Lehr, who I think he's leading the Big Ten in receptions and touchdowns by tight ends, or receptions and yards by tight ends, but he's overlooked because we're terrible. And we always have to pass because we're, you know, behind. But next year, nobody knows what's going to happen. Gray was brought in as a quarterback, you know, third-rated dual-threat quarterback in his class or something along those lines by Rivals, I believe. Missed his entire senior year of high school because of a broken arm, I believe. Came back in the Army All-American game and made some incredible plays, and we got excited. And then he came here, and he's been behind Weber. They gave him minimal snaps. Oh, and then he missed his first year because of his ACT score jumped too high after he took it.
Was Clem Haskins involved in any way in that?
I don't know. Indiana is right next to Kentucky. Clem might have been around.
Yeah.
Did he sign his SAT Derrick Rose?
No, because actually when he came back and retook it after the score that got flagged, he got it higher again, which...
Whoa!
It's... My guess is the kid just, you know, actually busted his ass opening the books. I hope I'm right on that, at least. But no, he hadn't seen, you know, more than three snaps in a row at quarterback his entire time here until 2 weeks after Horton says, no, Weber's our quarterback. We don't know if we're not going to, you know, we're probably not going to play any of the backups at all. And all of a sudden in the Michigan State game in the second quarter, here's Gray lining up at quarterback and looking pretty good at it. So we don't know what the answer is going to be next year because, you know, what kind of offense is it going to be? What is the coach looking for? Is he going to want receivers? Because Gray really is our second best receiver, but we have nothing at quarterback after him.
What the hell is going on with Troy Stottermeyer?
If I had any clue what was going on there, I would let you know. I just know that it's nice to have him returning kicks. Other than that, Oh, God.
Because, like, he's playing defensive back now. But
he did freshman as well.
But he's clearly a talented receiver, and his yards per catch are just stupid good.
Do you have his drops number next to it?
Yeah. And then there was that weird issue with the discipline. Like, didn't he have to out a game or two for insubordination?
He was suspended for a couple games, and nobody knows. I'm not aware of why. But that was towards the end of the Brewster era, so who knows?
Yeah. I'm just going to throw out a theory. I'm dead certain it's wrong, but it's what I want to believe anyway. He forwarded one of our Brewster articles to him with an LOL next to it. How about you get out of here, Troy?
Maybe he was using the Play for Brew Twitter account.
Fuck you, Fat Pat.
Now, let's talk about, speaking of guys that no one really quite understands what the hell happened to him, Hayo Carpenter. By the way, no man has ever had more tweets from his head coach per reception than Hayo Carpenter, who had six tweets from Tim Brewster regarding him and has caught three passes for 43 yards in his 2 years at Minnesota.
The defining moment of the Hayo Carpenter era will forever be catching a bubble screen against Wisconsin at TCF Bank Stadium last year and getting run down by a Wisconsin defensive end.
Which one?
I don't remember. I was, oh, God. I was trying to stay warm that day.
I mean, he was a five-star JUCO recruit.
Wide receiver.
Yeah.
Florida, yeah. According to Rivals, Florida offered him too. I've never seen coaches whiff so badly on a guy.
It's amazing.
He was supposed to have 4.3 speed, and I think they missed the decimal point.
it was on a 25-yard dash. they really fucked up the... Oh.
This is so much fun. So, defensively, I mean, we talked about the pass defense a little bit and the problems they had. How's the front seven for Minnesota this year? How have they been against the run?
They're getting better. They, oh, God. the first couple games of the year, if Dwight Dasher wouldn't have been suspended for the Middle Tennessee State game for, you know, the whole gambling gate, he probably would have lost that too. They were, that first game of the year on Thursday night, they were toying with us. We lost, you know, the defense got gutted from last year between graduation and whatnot. The front seven had two or three guys with playing experience, but nobody had started in there. I'm going to say this. This is, you can take this and plug this in for every single position on the field and every single guy on the team. They show flashes of brilliance for one or two plays, but they can't string anything together for any length of time.
Okay, I'm just going to point out one thing. During the Middle Tennessee State game, this John, is it Hasey? Is that how it's pronounced?
John Hasey.
Yeah, 8 rushes, 26 yards, 3 touchdowns, and looked like a prime-cut badass during it. That was the first game of the season. In the next 10 games, 11 rushes, 27 yards, no touchdowns. What the fuck?
First game, his dad had a heart attack 2 days before, 2 or 3 days before the game.
Uh-huh.
His dad died after that game.
And so they just stopped feeding him the ball because his dad died?
No, but he got hurt too, but I think he was on a bit of an emotional high in that game. I think what happened there is, you know, it's Brewster fired him up, hey, come on, let's go out and play for Terry, his dad, and then it just fell off after that, you know, and then once his dad passed, that had some effect. Once he got hurt, I think he got hurt a game or two later, that had a bigger effect, and then we haven't had much of a need for a goal line fullback recently.
That's a good point.
Ugh.
It's been a tough year for him. God.
Yeah.
Let's get on to simpler, happier things.
Let's talk about our offensive line.
Oh. Hey, at least you guys have a kicker.
A what?
Hellestad, 9 of 15 this year.
What's his number past 40?
Past 40 is 2 of 5.
Yeah, it just says LOL on my
past
screen.
Past 30, he's 4 of 10.
Yeah, like I said, what's a kicker? I think in the second or third game of the year, we're talking about necessary roughness and wanting to bring Kathy Ireland in to kick.
But hey, at least he's 28 and 29 like extra points.
Hey, all right, 29 extra points on the year.
Bingo.
No, seriously, Troy Stoudemire, what the fuck?
He's going to be the all-time big-time leader in kickoff returns. Gilreath graduates after this year, and that's the only competition.
Really?
That's not necessarily a good thing to be bragging about, though, when you think about it.
Yeah.
Wait, the all-time?
All-time big-time leader in kickoff return yards.
And you can't find any place for him as a wide receiver.
Apparently not. We're good with Hale Carpenter, guys.
Is there any way that we can get you to change your BHTP name to Hale?
Like, no, I don't know. I maybe I'll change my signature to that.
So Ben, what should Iowa fans, and we know there'll be plenty of them there, what should they be doing in Friday, Saturday in the Twin Cities? What's your recommendation?
Stay inside.
Stay warm.
Oh, seriously, it's supposed to be wind chills of below zero Thursday, Friday, so Christ, do not go outdoors. Don't go anywhere near a mall on Friday, for the love of God.
How warm are the bathrooms?
You know, I don't know if they're necessarily warm enough for extramarital activities. I'd be a little concerned about that if I were you guys.
Okay.
We
will We'll tell you what. If it's really that cold out, we'll try our best to keep our penises out of vaginas during the game.
We really appreciate that, guys.
Hey.
It just happens, though, sometimes.
I understand. Yeah. We've all been there.
There's only so much trying we can do.
Friday, you know, normally I'd say, hey, come on up and check out the Mall of America, but it's the day after Thanksgiving. It's Black Friday. You don't want to go near that.
No. How many people will die at the Mall of America on Friday?
Not enough. I mean, it's turned into a giant tourist trap slash joke. Minnesotans don't go there anymore. People on layover go there.
Yeah. Oof. I can see that happening. You guys shop at hipster stores in downtown Minneapolis, I'm sure, instead.
Uptown, yeah.
Stores you've never heard of.
What about tailgating opportunities on Saturday? Has there been any sort of kind of tailgate scene spring up around TCF Bank Stadium?
A little bit, yeah, but what they did when they moved is they decided that to get an opportunity at a tailgating spot directly around the stadium, you know, the best spot you want to have your best fans tailgating at.
Yeah.
They decided to attach the minimum $1,000 to the university donation to get even a crack at those.
Is that it? Because it's way worse at Iowa.
We're coming from a place where there was no minimum requirement to get a parking spot right outside the dome, though. So it's a little bit of a shock to the hardcore fans because, well, we played in the Metrodome.
Yeah.
There are a few lots that are further out that have had some pretty good tailgating stuff spring up. What I suggested in my Mongolian Horde Invasion guide was the State Fair Fairgrounds because that's the only place where you can buy day-of-game tailgating spots because nobody plans ahead for these things, it seems like.
How far away from the stadium is that?
There's a shuttle that goes. It's a few miles. But there's an express shuttle that shoots right over. I think it's less than a 10-minute bus trip.
That's not bad.
That's good.
Yeah. Like I said before, on the Invasion, though, I believe it only runs for an hour after the game, so you don't have time to necessarily bar hop over in Dinkytown or Campus Village, or Stadium Village after the game if you do that.
That's a problem. Not really for me. I'm staying next to the stadium, but it's a problem for other people.
Yeah. It's... We're still ironing it out. Like I said, Metrodome. Sorry.
Ah. Yeah. Well, Ben, what's your prediction for the week?
I think a lot of people are going to get very drunk and very cold. A few people probably get kicked out of the game. Fans, not players.
I would like to see I would like to see players get kicked out of this game for being too drunk. I would love that.
You know what? I would really like to see Adrian Claiborne and the Pride of Caledonia, Kevin Klug's brother, Carl, get kicked out of the game. But I don't see that happening, and that's where we're going to have the problems, because 2 weeks ago to Illinois, we had 5 healthy offensive linemen, and the sixth was a backup tight end. Now, most of those guys are back, but I don't know if we can use that chicken wire and bubble gum to keep those guys off of Weber very long, or open up holes for the running game. It'd be nice if we could score Saturday.
Set your sights low, bud. Set them low.
Aim low and you'll never be disappointed.
That's right. Jacoby, what do you think?
Oh, if I have to attach a score to this, I think it's going to be kind of ugly. Just because Marcus Coker is going to have to go. And, well,
now Robinson out.
Yeah.
Concussion.
Yeah, he got fucked up by that blatant pass interference against Ohio State. And that's the second concussion of not only the season, but the last month. So I'm not even sure he's going to be playing in the bowl. And frankly, I'm not sure if I want him to be playing in the bowl.
Yeah.
So
well, that's
he's done. Yeah. But Coker was able to run over Ohio State.
He did look impressive.
And Robinson wasn't. So I think that he's going to have an opportunity to showcase his talents. And if Minnesota makes the mistake of putting eight in the box, Stansy, McNutt, and DJK against that secondary is going to be kind of funny to watch. So I do think Minnesota's going to score.
Yay!
So I hope you're fine with 45-10 because that's my prediction.
10's not bad.
Yeah, that's literally double digits.
Well, I got good news and bad news for you, Ben, on my end. The good news is I don't have it being nearly as big a blowout as Jacoby does because I don't think this offense can score 20 points on nobody. But I don't think you're going to score. So I'm saying 23-0. And I'm guessing it's 50-50 that Minnesota gets on the board, but I'm kind of hoping you do. It's just getting kind of sad now.
It really is. I don't even know how many more jokes I can make about it. I only think I have a couple hundred more I can do.
Maybe a year's worth, maybe, of jokes, but that's it.
Yeah. So I don't know what's going to be changed around.
I don't know what's going to happen when you know, I don't have you guys to get ready for at the end of the season. It's just, it's not going to be the same next year getting ready for Wisconsin while you guys are, you know, or no, Illinois.
You play Illinois at the end, don't you?
Oh, that's even worse.
Is that a year-by-year thing, or is it, I think that is
a year-end rival.
That really fucking sucks, dude.
Yay, Zook.
That state doesn't even touch you.
Yeah, it does.
Well, I mean, geographically. I mean, Illinois molests everything within a 1,000-mile radius, but you know what I mean.
You know, like you were talking about earlier, Adam, about how, you know, going to 12 teams really hurts things. It really hurts continuity playing teams. You know, we're not going to see Ohio State, Penn State, Indiana. We're not going to see Indiana every year. We're not going to see them every – we haven't seen them in 2 years already. That would have been really helpful. But it
might have saved Brewster's job.
No, it's not.
Well, no.
But when you're not, you know, when you have something like the Iowa game at the end of the year, it's something you look forward to every year. It's, you know, it's special. You know, going down to the Metrodome and sitting there through 60 minutes of getting curb stomped. It's something that, you know, isn't going to be the same without it next year.
If I can interrupt you real quick, 2012, Minnesota ends the season with Michigan State. At Minnesota. So I don't think you guys have a dedicated end-of-year rival anymore.
We can give you one of ours. Purdue's sitting there waiting.
The most hated rival?
Yes, OMHR Purdue is there waiting for you if you'd like it. We'll take Wisconsin off your hands. We won't be happy about it.
This is our gift to you. We need this from you.
I think I could handle only having to play Iowa, Michigan, Michigan State, Nebraska every year. And you guys can take Wisconsin off our hands. I think I can handle that going forward here because that's going to be an adventure for whoever the new coach is.
Yeah. I'm ready to make that deal, personally.
I'm there.
I think we have the power to do it, don't we?
All right. We've got one thing. We've found common ground tonight. Iowa should be playing Wisconsin. And with that one little piece of détente, I'll tell you, Ben, to once again go fuck yourself.
I hope you guys have terrible nights. I hope bad things happen to your cats. Just all sorts
of
things.
Hey,
I don't have cats
out of this.
So
I have
Jacoby's
two.
Cats.
You know what? Jacoby's cats will take care of it for both of you. I think then. Air balls for everyone.
You will regret the day you ever brought the cats into this, man. Now it's personal or felinual.
Well, that's why it's hate week.
Exactly. All right. Well, thanks for being on the show, Ben, and we'll return to being buddy-buddy here on Sunday.
Sounds good. Have a bad weekend, guys.
You too.